We're going to spend a few minutes thinking about the good news of Christmas, that Jesus is the light of the world. But as we start, I want to share with you a poem called Winter Without Christmas. No lights on the houses, no trees on display, no presents, no Santa, no reindeer, no sleigh. No cutlery to polish, no turkey dinner to demolish, no crackers to pull, no wine to mull, no table decorations, no family celebrations or time with relations, no bells to ring, no choirs to sing praises to their king, no sparkling baubles, no festive doorbells, no mince pies, no stollen, no wreaths and no stockings. Just eye-watering gas bills and bare, cardless windowsills. Nothing to post, nothing to toast. Just a bleak, midwintry haze of dull, grey days. Frozen mornings with a frost that bites. And long, cold, dark nights. Winter without Christmas. No hope in sight. I wonder what you would say it is exactly that makes this the most wonderful time of the year. Without Christmas, there's not a huge deal to celebrate, is there? C.S. Lewis, in his Narnia books, invites us to imagine a world where it is always winter and never Christmas. And for the creatures that live there, it is a frightening and hope-sapping place to be. When the prophet Isaiah wrote his book some 600 years before the birth of the Lord Jesus, it felt like it was always winter and never Christmas. In that first reading that Nikki brought for us, God's people are described as being enveloped by gloom, walking in darkness. And to people like that, Isaiah comes with a message of hope and says, Christmas is coming. Isaiah says there will be no more gloom for those who were in distress. For the people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. This prediction from Isaiah of a light dawning is wrapped up in the birth of a baby. For a few verses later, Isaiah says, for to us a child is born, a son is given. And the good news of Christmas is this, that Jesus enters our darkness so that we can live in the light. That is the earth-shatteringly good news of Christmas that transforms what should be one of the darkest, most miserable times of the year into the time of the year that is most worthy of celebrating and feasting and joy. Jesus enters our darkness so that we can live in the light. Some 600 years after Isaiah had written those words, his prophetic prediction came true. Jesus, the Son of God, was born as an ordinary baby. Except he was no ordinary baby, as the shepherds and the wise men and the angels and the star and even murderous King Herod all testify. This was God himself in the flesh. And when Jesus was a grown man, he announced himself to huge crowds in Jerusalem saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. When Jesus announces himself and introduces himself to the world, he says, I am God himself. I am the light, the source of life for the whole world. He says, I've come to offer you a way out of darkness. It's often said, isn't it, that not everyone believes in God, but everyone believes in darkness. That is, everyone believes and accepts the problem and the presence of evil in this world. And as we look around at our fractured, broken, war-torn world, that is all too painful and plain to see. Often the Bible uses imagery of darkness to communicate evil and wickedness, but also lostness and ignorance. We're so far in the dark, we can't find our way out. Jesus himself was born at a time of great spiritual darkness, when King Herod was trying to kill every baby boy aged 2 years of age and under. God had never felt so distant. It felt to God's people like God had been silent for centuries. Winter. Winter without Christmas. Of course, it wasn't meant to be this way. At the very beginning of the Bible, in the third sentence of Genesis chapter 1, we hear God's first recorded words, "Let there be light." God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. God saw that the light was good, and he separated it from darkness. That was what was right at the top of God's priority list. Separating light from darkness. The Bible, in many ways, is a story of light and darkness. But sadly, ever since records began, human history tells the story of mankind consistently turning away from the source of light. We've pulled the plug on our relationship with God and plunged ourselves into a man-made darkness. Why do we do that? Why would we choose to live in the darkness rather than the light? Well, Jesus answers that question by saying there is one thing that darkness offers that light cannot, and that is a place to hide. Jesus said that people choose to live in the dark, separated from God, so that their deeds and their actions won't be exposed. And we all have things in our lives that we wouldn't want to come to light. But our efforts to kind of run and hide from God, it's a bit like a toddler playing hide and seek and just trying to cover their eyes and thinking they're suddenly invisible. God does see our darkest and deepest thoughts, and yet that is not the end of the story. God does not abandon us in our darkness. That is the good news of Christmas, that God has sent his Son, Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, on a search and rescue mission to enter into our darkness. That's why Isaiah says, "On this world, a light has dawned," because we needed a light to come in from outside, because we were too lost to find our way ourselves back to God. Jesus says, "I have come into the world as a light, so that whoever believes in me should not stay in darkness." Jesus says, you don't have to live in the dark anymore. And Jesus comes not just as a signpost to an agency providing light-related services. Jesus says, "I am the light. I am the source of light." Jesus announces himself as God himself, the life giver, the light giver, the source of goodness, truth, and life, so that we might live life in the light, live life in relationship with God, our maker. And for Jesus to complete this rescue mission, he knows he will not just need to enter our darkness, but experience our darkness. When he was a grown man, despite being the most loving human being to have ever lived, Jesus was the victim of a rigged trial, brutal torture, and an agonizing death on the cross. And when he was hung up, strung up on the cross from noon till 3 in the afternoon, the whole land went dark. Darkness came over the whole land, symbolizing that God, in his great love for us, was placing on Jesus all of our dark thoughts, all of our dark deeds were placed onto Jesus' body on the cross. And as Jesus died, it's like he was absorbing all of our darkness into his body so that he could pay the price for it as he died, taking those things away. And because Jesus was willing to complete that search and rescue mission for all who would trust in him, we are free then, if we accept that offer, to plug back into relationship with God and enjoy relationship with God as it was always intended, both now and in a bright forever future in heaven. Jesus and darkness are not two equal but opposing forces. They are rivals but not equals. By rising from the dead, Jesus showed that he defeated darkness and death and evil forever. Jesus enters our darkness so that you can live in the light. But we do have a choice to make. There is a choice to be made: bleak midwinter or the joy of Christmas. Darkness or Jesus. This life, this light is on offer to everyone here in this room tonight. No matter who you are, no matter what your background is, no matter what's brought you along this evening, Jesus says, I'm the light of the whole world. And Jesus says this light is on offer to whoever. To whoever. One of my favorite words in the whole Bible. Jesus says, this is available to whoever follows me. Whoever's willing to listen to me, follow me, worship me. Jesus says, this light, this life is on offer to you tonight. Whatever's brought you, whoever you are, you can get in on this. Just by choosing to follow Jesus, you can live in the light. Can I say, doing that will be the best decision you've ever made. But we also recognize it is the biggest decision you will ever make. And so as a church, we would love to help you think through this in more detail. That's why we're running the Hope Explored course starting in the new year. Can I commend that to you? That would be probably the easiest way, just in a few Wednesday evenings, to get to the bottom of what you think for yourself the life that Jesus offers really is. There's also a goodie bag we'll give you after the service, which has got a free book and some other resources to help you think more about, is this too good to be true? Is this light, is this life really something that I can attain this Christmas? Jesus says it's on offer to whoever is willing to follow me. Can I appeal to you this Christmas not to treat Jesus like a charity door knocker and slam the door in his face before you've heard him out? Don't treat Jesus like a scam caller and put the phone down on him before you've heard what he has to say to you. However dark things may feel for you this winter, there is hope, because God has stepped into our world. Jesus has entered our darkness so that you can live in the light. That is good news worth singing about.